Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Good afternoon to another episode here of Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ann Ubellis, and welcome aboard. I see people are popping into the chat room already. Good afternoon, Tesla and Thomas. I have a couple of local announcements going on, which I haven't had in a while, but things are starting to heat up, and I have to do apologize for my voice. It sounds a little odd. Thought I had gotten rid of my cold and woke up in the middle of the night with a sore throat and a sore ear, so I'm right now sipping on some lemon water, hoping it'll keep the coughs down. Going on locally, we're going to have Rick Perry, and you know after the Iowa caucuses tonight, everyone's going to migrate from Iowa here down to South Carolina, so we're going to get inundated with all of this. Well, Rick Perry will be here on Friday, January 6th. He'll be at the Magnolia Bakery, which is downtown in Beaufort on Congress Street, 9:30 a.m. They ask that you arrive 15 minutes early. And from there, he's going to go to the Squat and Gobble, which is at 1231 May River Road, Bluffton. And yes, there is a restaurant here called the Squat and Gobble. Matter of fact, it's rather famous. So he'll be at the Squat and Gobble at 1215. They're again asking you to arrive 15 minutes early. And next, he'll go to Main Street Walk, which is at Colony Plaza, 1 North Forest Drive. And that's on Hilton Head. That'll be 1:40 p.m. So Rick Perry will be making three stops here in the Low Country. He's the first one I've seen scheduled here in South Carolina immediately after the Iowa caucuses. So Rick Perry will be here on the 6th. If anyone wants to know that schedule, they're here in South Carolina, just simply drop me an email, and I will give them the information. And yes, Dr. Jones, that is the honest name of the restaurant, the Squat and Gobble. And you spelled it correctly, yes. And actually, it's got good barbecue. Next, we have going on in Bluffton, the Tea Party Patriots of Bluffton, God bless these two women. They are fantastic, hard workers. January 10th, they'll be meeting at the Golden Corral in Bluffton. The meetings always start around 6:30 p.m. If they want to socialize and have dinner, they ask you to come at 5:15. The speaker is going to be Karen Schoen, and she will discuss the Agenda 21 program established by the United Nations Earth Summit in Rio back in 92. This program outlines UN's long-range vision for centrally managed global society and is being used by state and local governments, according to a Tea Party News release. The meeting is open to the public, and all are welcome. Again, anyone here in Buford or Bluffton that want to attend this meeting on the 10th, want more information, just drop me an email here through Blog Talk Radio. I'll be happy to give you the details. And, yeah, only here in South Carolina can we come up with a name like the Squat and Gobble. Oh, man. And those of you that have followed my fight when I fought the county council over purchasing a business park last year and knew I won the battle, well, I got a new one. I have a new one. And this, I knew that they were going to try to do this, but now it's heating up, and they scheduled meetings before I even knew the meetings were being, that the meetings were coming down the pike, and they're dropping them on our laps last minute, hoping we're not going to organize in time. But fear not, Annie's at the helm again. We've got, the way our budget works for the school district, operating costs and the budget millage is handled through the county council. So the county council sets the tax rates and tells the school district, this is the amount of money we're giving you this year, and this is what you have to spend for your budget. Now, you figure out your budget, come forward, we'll approve it, disapprove it, you know, whatever. But you basically decide what your budget is, you know, how you're going to handle the money. We're telling you how much we're going to give you. And since the county council controls the taxes, it only makes sense that the county council determines how much of those taxes coming out go to the school district. You know, what the millage rate is, how much goes to the school district, how much goes to the fire departments, how much goes to public utilities, and so on and so forth. Well, now the school district for the last year or so had two of their budgets turned down by the council, saying they're way over projection. They want to raise the millage rate. We know you've got an economic time period where people are losing jobs and losing the houses. You can't raise the tax rate on these people. So they held the line on the budget. And as it turns out, per student cost for a public school student is $12,000 a year. Conversely, if they sent that same child, who would probably get a better education in a charter school or a private school, the cost per child drops almost in half. It ranges between $8,000 to $6,000, depending upon the school. Well, the school district, since they are stomping their feet and can't get more money, and they refuse to lower their administrative costs, thus lowering the cost per child, wants to take control of all the taxes. They want to determine how much to raise your taxes and what the millage rate will be. Well, this ain't going to happen here as long as I'm here. So tomorrow night, I have to prep for a county council meeting, and I am going with all guns loaded. And, yeah, Doc Jones, if you ever hit South Carolina, Squat and Gobble's got some good food. There's other places around here. What was the one that I was in with Gingrich? Oh, God, I'm trying to remember that one. I think that one might have been called the Pork Rib or something like that. Yeah, we got some interesting named restaurants around here. You got to come to South Carolina because I tell you, we got some really, really good food here. Going to welcome everyone again to the chat room. We got Dr. Jones in the house. We got Iron Fist. We got Jay Ubellis. We got Tesla. We got Invisible Conservative, our friend Thomas. And matter of fact, I am going to play this PSA for a friend there in the chat room.
Let's get together this weekend. This is Tesla, your host of the internet radio talk show, Socialism is Not an Option. Every weekend, we bring you three fantastic, exciting shows that are sure to make you laugh, cry, get angry, and even think. Start your weekend on Friday night with the Roundtable Roundup Edition. This show features other radio hosts and listeners who call in. And it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get when the show opens. Our Saturday program is the American Exceptionalism Edition that focuses on the Constitution and our Founding Fathers in light of today's current events emphasizing America's greatness. The American Exceptionalism Edition is for all patriots. And our Hot Topic program sizzles every Sunday as we analyze the important national and international issues with intelligent political analysis without the bells and whistles. If you want the truth without the distractions, Sunday is where you want to be. Join us every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on the Internet Radio Talk Show, Socialism is Not an Option. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Tesla. See you this weekend.
To Dr. Jones and Tesla. We have a caller in on the line. Good afternoon, Thomas, the invisible conservative who is no longer invisible but visible. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Annie. Annie, are you okay?
I'm doing fine. I just thought I had gotten rid of this cold, and oh, man, I knew I had been resting my voice. That's why I haven't called into a lot of shows over the week. Normally I drop in at Doc Jones or Tesla's or to you, but I was trying to rest up the voice, and gosh, you know, just as soon as you whip the little bastard, he comes back. What's up, Thomas?
Well, the gobble and squat. I mean, the gobble and squat.
The squat and gobble.
Yeah. Anyway, so interesting. I just have one common sense question, and then I'm gonna go on my little rant, and then I'm gonna, you know, I got so much to do. Got to clean my room, wash my clothes, brush my face, and wash my teeth. Anyway, just kidding. How is it that the school district think that they're going to suddenly take the power to raise taxes on people out of the hands of the county commissioners? Or do the union people think they have that much power over the city council, or the county council, or are their county commissioners in bed with the school district?
Well, yeah, I think you got the last part right. And here in South Carolina, we're not unionized. So there is no union. There's a separate school board which operates as an independent organization, but they are dependent upon the county council to determine how much taxes will go towards the budget. And this is what they want to take away from the county council. Now, it's a check and balance system. Now, the school board is elected, yes, and so is the county council elected, yes. But that way, by having two separate government bodies, depending upon the voter, instead of just one. And the school board is notorious for doing things behind closed doors. The county council is mandated to have everything transparent and visual.
Right.
So therefore, anytime the school board goes to the county council, the budget's completely laid out for every single voter to look at. And they determine, and the county council has the public come over in three separate readings, to determine whether or not to approve the increase in taxes. And they did this twice last year, and both times people came forward and the county council listened to the people and they said, all right, we understand you can't afford to have these taxes increased. We understand that we agree that they've got to get their budget under control. And right now they're shuttering schools. They built a brand new school in the north end of the county here, and the school is only half full. So now they're trying to figure out how to shift the students around to distribute them evenly between the schools. And they've got a local school district here called Shell Point that they're going to shuttle next year because they don't have enough students, and they're going to bus those kids away. So now if you're shuttering schools, that means your administrative costs should be coming down, but they're not coming down. They're still remaining at a high $12,000 per child, and we still cannot graduate a good educated child out there for the job market. We can't attract businesses if we cannot graduate kids that can handle the jobs that we want to attract the businesses for. The school district's not doing it. Consequently, we've got more and more charter schools looking to open up in the area. The building they're going to shutter next year, Shell Point, a charter school is already applying to use that building to open up. So how can a charter school that is operating with the same quality talent, same talent pool of teachers, can operate at $6,000 a child, and our school district is stuck at $12,000? There's a problem here. And it's not a matter of who controls the taxes at this point. It's a matter of whether or not the school district can get their budget under control and lower their administrative costs. They've got more administrators in the school district than they have teachers, and that should not be.
Wait. Repeat what you just said there, because I know I heard you, but I want you to repeat what you just said.
They have more administrators in the school district than they have teachers.
How does that work?
That's what I'd like to know. And that's what a lot of the public would like to know. How does that work? Why is that happening?
You know, I was talking to someone the other day on the show. I forget what show it was. But I proposed, and I'm going to work on, I'm probably going to put together some creative minds, but I'm going to work on a private, this, I know this is going to sound like an oxymoron, but a public school system, a national public school system, which is ran privately. I know that charter schools are kind of like that, but they still get some type of funding from the state and even federal.
Our state school superintendent, Mike Zayas, is trying to do is to make it, try to separate us from this No Child Left Behind. And he's trying to get it where schools in certain areas can request to have themselves exempt, which is a fantastic thing. So, you know, here we have Mike Zayas trying to take the federal government out of the school and, you know, do something to help reduce the costs in the individual schools. So you add that in place with, you know, controlling the budget and having the school district voluntarily find ways to cut their administrative budget, then what do they need more taxes for?
Right. But see, here's the thing, and I think you know this because you're the queen of research. The provision in the Obama administration did it. He has granted waivers to schools, districts to be exempt from the No Child Left Behind Act. Now, consequently, the districts that he exempted from it were districts that were already performing badly. I think the Detroit School District is one of them. Chicago School District is another. So then why is South Carolina, why is it hard for you guys to get the same type of exemption from the No Child Left Behind that he has already granted to two of the worst districts in the entire nation?
Well, it's very, very easy. They use a little civil rights portion of the law because they claim South Carolina has violated civil rights of its citizens in the past. You're talking about the 30s, 40s, 50s, and early into the 60s. They say because you're known for violating civil rights, we will now take a tighter control on certain aspects of your government, where it is for either voting, for redistricting, for school districts. We're going to make sure that you don't violate anyone else's civil rights. Now, you're talking about something that happened 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. But the federal government, once they put the thumb on your neck, it's very hard to get it off. Thomas, we got another caller coming in here. All right, and we've got – all right, let's get the mic up. Here we go. Lord Picasso, number two, who am I speaking to?
Yeah, how are you?
How are you?
Good. I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Answered immediately.
Yes.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Well, I'll tell you what, definitely ain't you. Troll alert out there.
Yep.
Oh, man. I want to welcome more people that have been coming into the chat room. We've got King Picasso, who I think that was our caller there. We got Mary. Hi, Mom. And we got Iron Fist back again. Oh, man. I posted up for anyone that was, because I love the name Squat and Gobble. I posted up a bunch of reviews in there. And matter of fact, the last one up there that's on Yelp has a small picture of the restaurant. So actually now it's going to have to make a road trip because Yanni and I are going to have to go and call. And Mary says, Arnold. Yeah, the second I heard the phony accent. And I know it's King Picasso who did that. All right, moving on.
That must be someone you know.
No, honestly, oh. No. Honestly,
okay.
No. But, yeah, this is something that I've been saying since the day I started this show, which is a year ago back in August, that this is where you have to get control of your government. You got to do it at the grassroots level. Because if you don't control what happens down here, as these people get power and they get it into their head, they climb the political ladder, the next thing you know, you've got yourself a community organizer for president instead of a good, strong executive.
Right.
And this is where we've got to stop it here and now, because the second they think they can wrest power from the people, then the people have no power.
Right. That's a good point.
So all morning I was working on blasting out newsletters and stuff to all of my people in the Tea Party. And then I'm going to have to do my notes and homework and schedule my little attaché case full of information, make a few phone calls, and battle the troops. Mm. Well, I'm going to take a small break here. We got another little PSA, and this is to Freedom Alliance Media.
Sound the drum. Sound the drum. The drum. Here we come. We are the new media. Freedom Alliance Media.
Freedom Alliance
freedom
Media.
Alliance Media.
Media.
Where the voice of freedom will lead you to the truth.
For great rock and great talk, go to www.freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
Newly published on Lulu.com. Stay Mad, Observations of a Proletarian, investigates and cites sources exposing the frightening agenda of Obama. People reading this book will be confronted with an obvious choice. Yet it disregard blatant facts that will lead to the fall of the USA as we know it. Or join David Graham in spreading the message and reversing the machination of the left agenda. Stay Mad is required reading for voters from both parties.
All right, now, moving back along, we've got the Iowa caucuses starting today, and I don't know if a lot of people out there listening know how the Iowa caucus goes. It's not something that happens all day. It's not an all-day voting thing. So, you know, you got the media going crazy over there, and you probably have more people from the media crowd in these auditoriums and churches and halls and everything else than you have actual people voting in the caucus. But the caucus only lasts 1 hour. People don't realize it. It's only 1 hour. There's approximately 800, I think they said 801 of these locations they're going to caucus in. And the crowd gathers, and representatives of each of the candidates will come forward, speak for a few minutes, speak their piece, and sit down. And then after all that speaking is done, people come forward and cast their vote. A lot of people won't vote until they heard the speakers. And, yeah, the candidates will show up in some of these key locations. So between 8 o'clock tonight and 9, the actual caucus voting will occur. And speaking of which, there's going to be a back-to-back broadcast tonight. It starts off with Tesler, I believe, starts at 7 o'clock on his Iowa caucus. It's going to be followed by, let me see if I can get this right, Jermaine GGT. And then it's going to be followed by G-Ski. So listen to Block Talk Radio, and you're going to follow us along as we do that. In fact, for anyone that's going to be following the Iowa caucus with Tesla broadcast, with Jermaine's broadcast, and also with G-Ski's broadcast, I will be also on Twitter as well as going into their chat rooms. So if everyone or anyone wants to follow me on Twitter, I'm putting out into the chat room the Twitter name I go by when I'm up there. I do have two of them. I do go by Southern Sense, Southern_Sense, but the main one I go by is Buford Tea Party. I just posted it in the chat room. So if anyone wants to follow that, I will be going through Twitter and posting updates on the caucuses as they come into Twitter, because they'll hit Twitter faster than they'll hit mainstream media, I tell you that. And, of course, Thomas, put in your Twitter identification in there so people know who to follow you on also. All right. Now, going on the Iowa caucus, I don't know if anyone caught the news yesterday, but this really got me upset. You know, these Democrats have been coming after a lot of the candidates, and some of the candidates have been throwing some really pretty nasty mud. But when I heard this yesterday, I had been just stepping into the bathroom to blow dry my hair. I actually stepped back out, and I looked at TV, and my mouth had dropped open. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I will speak to you about it after you listen to this clip, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to listen to this and go, oh, my God, I can't believe anyone can go this low in the dirt. This is on Fox News with Rich Lowry and Alan Combs.
From surging in the polls, the media seems to be paying more attention to his campaign. Let's bring in our Newswatch panel. Rich Lowry is the editor of the National Review, also a Fox News contributor. Alan Combs is the host of the Alan Combs Show and a familiar face here at Fox. So is Rick Santorum surging, Rich, because of media attention or in spite of it?
In spite of it. He made this happen on the ground, John. He you know, went to all 99 counties, ran a very traditional Iowa campaign at a time when a lot of the smartest pundits were saying, you don't need to do that traditional work anymore. It's all about the debates and it's all about national advertising. So this surge is a product of hard work and a product also of all the other anti-Romney candidates collapsing around him.
Alan, do you agree that it's hard work? And
if so,
does it deserve to be rewarded?
It's certainly hard work that he visited every, you know, went to every part of the state. And it's also that they, you know, the Republicans have speed dated every other Republican, and so there's nobody left except Rick Santorum. But once they get a load of some of the crazy things he said and done, like taking his two-hour-old baby who died right after childbirth home and played with it for a couple of hours so his other children would know that the child was real. I mean,
that's
stuff like
cheap,
that.
That's a cheap shot, Alan.
That's not a cheap shot.
No, crazy.
It's not. No,
something
it's not.
That's that personal.
No, it's not a cheap shot.
And that is that personal and personal.
I disagree.
No, losing
a child. I didn't interrupt you, Rich.
And to mock it, to mock it like that is really beyond the pale
and beneath
you.
I don't think it's beyond the pale.
You are mocking him. That is
beneath
you, Alan.
First of all, I didn't interrupt you, but I'm not mocking him.
I'm interrupting you because what you're saying is contemptible.
Let me know when you're done.
Well, you want me to keep going?
Let me know when you're done.
They lost a child, Alan. That's very serious, and it's not something you should be mocking on national TV.
I'm not mocking the losing of the child, but what I'm saying is I think it shows a certain unusual attitude toward taking a two-hour baby home
well,
to die
you
to
might
play
think
with,
that's
to
a legitimate
play with his
issue
other
to bring
children.
Up against him and to mock him
look,
about,
Rick,
but
Rick,
I guarantee
Rick,
you Republican voters
look,
aren't going to
let me know when
that.
I can speak, okay?
Go ahead. If you want to continue to mock that, go ahead, Alan.
I'm not mocking it. I think it shows.
Yes, you are. You're saying it's going to hurt him
among
the Republican electorate.
Go ahead.
That he lost a child.
If you want me to be in the segment, let me speak.
To deal with that loss.
Let's move on to something that Mike Murphy said. He is a Republican strategist who was on Meet the Press over the weekend. Here's what he said about the attention that Rick Santorum can expect to get now from the media.
It's the media. The media works like the Jurassic Park dinosaur. It's 30 feet tall, huge teeth, with all due respect, not always the biggest brain, and it follows movement. And when it sees movement, Rick Santorum, it stomps over there and tries to eat Rick Santorum.
What do you think about that, Alan?
Well, I'd like to go back to finish what I wanted to say in the other segment that I was not allowed to finish. I do think it shows a certain a lack of judgment. I think it shows a certain, you know, behavior which is questionable. And I think it's something people do think about and consider when they're looking at a candidate. He has said a lot of other crazy things, like consensual sex in the home will lead to other bizarre behavior. We shouldn't have consensual sex in the home. I mean, once the media really needs to focus on some of the things he has said and done, and once they do, he is so far outside the mainstream that he can't be taken seriously as a candidate.
Well, first of all, I even think some of the dastardly characters we have in the mainstream media are not going to go as low as you just have, Alan, and make fun of that incident. Two,
I disagree.
I'm going to stop it there. I mean, because Alan Combs, at no point would he apologize for such a despicable statement. I mean, you just lost your child, and you want to take the child home. And so at least your younger children, the other children in the house, understand that, yes, this is a real baby that was born. Unfortunately, he died. And let's, you know, all mourn for him, you know, pray over him, and then, you know, lay him to rest. So at least the family, because young kids don't always understand. They see mommy's got a big belly one day, and the next day she has no belly. So what happened to the baby inside? He did this to help them understand and cope, and to stoop to such a level is complete despicable. Absolutely despicable. And Mary's right. I hope that this doesn't ever have to happen to him. You know, it is a horrible thing. A horrible thing for a family to have to lose a child. Oh, man. I want people to call in. The call-in line is open. It's 917-889-3675. And if anyone wants to know where Cool Mike is, he got called into work today, and he's going to be stuck on Friday late. So, unfortunately, he will not be with me this week, so I'm crossing my fingers. Hopefully, he will be here next week. And next week, we're going to have a really special guest on Tuesday. His name is Dr. Russell Sobel, and he wrote several books, one of which we're going to be talking about called, oh, good Lord, my mind just went blank. I just had a brain fart. Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. It's about capitalism and how we can get our economy back going again. I'll think of the name of the book. Oh, geez, that is really, really super embarrassing. Oh, Unleashing Capitalism. That's the name of the book, Unleashing Capitalism. As a matter of fact, on the show page for the 10th, I put a link to the book, which you can download for free. It'll come up in PDF form, and you can read it. Unleashing Capitalism by Russ Sobel. Excellent, fantastic book. And it's really, you know, a hands-on, no brains needed way to bring our economy back around. Anyway, Thomas, you know, you and I are both strongly pro-life. What is your take on Alan Combs here?
As I put in the chat room, I need to borrow Iron Fist because I would love to punch that dude in his mouth.
I think just about every conservative and every good Christian across the globe would like to do that to him. It threw me. It absolutely threw me. But this is what they've come to. You know, they're trying to make, you know, Rick Santorum look like he's an idiot by doing something that's passionate to his family. And it was his way to grieve. You know, who says what is the right way? Who say the right way? And I do apologize for having a Rick Perry moment.
Oh, no, you're all right. Because you know what? Rick Perry is kind of making a comeback, too. You know, I respect him by virtue of the fact that Pastor C.L. Bryant, who's a friend of mine, great confidant, he knows Rick Perry personally, known him for 2 decades, and so he has a great insight into him. And I don't understand how people could think that once being a Democrat, you can hold that against someone once they become conservative. I honestly believe Rick Perry is more conservative than people realize. But why would I say that, some might ask? Because I'll use history as precedence. Before he became conservative, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. Folks tend to forget that.
A lot of people do tend to forget that. And actually, what I'm finding with the Tea Party movement, especially with the Tea Party movement, when you start talking to people, I mean really, really sitting down and listening to them, to their opinions on certain matters, I'm finding there is a growing number of people who in the 60s and 70s and early 80s were staunchly Democrat, staunchly
right.
liberal. But once they sat down and they got older and they really realized how the real world works, that, hey,
right.
you do have to get up and work a job, and
right.
it's not supposed to be a handout, it's supposed to be a hand up, and all of a sudden you have to pay the taxes, raise the kids, pay for the home and the groceries and this and that, and try to find money to put aside for, hey, maybe these conservatives have something. And then they start looking at the conservative side of the issue and go, wait a minute, this does make sense. This
right.
really is the moral way to lead our life.
Right, right.
And I'm finding more and more of them will turn the leaf. As I call it, they have the epiphany.
Right, exactly.
And one of them is a perfect example right here in my own backyard, Judge Murray Silver. He
mm-hmm.
wrote the book Daddy, King, and Me. And he was a staunch Democrat. But he grew up in Georgia, You know, he went to school in Savannah and Atlanta. And at that time of him growing up, it was all Democrat land. In order to be someone, to do anything, to succeed anywhere, you had to be a registered Democrat, which he was.
Right.
And he worked for various Democratic campaigns and things. But as the years passed, he realized, hey, you know, the Democrats aren't what they claim they are. And he stepped back and he thought and thought and he said, you know, maybe I am a Republican. And then when he did his conversion, he says, no, I'm not just a Republican. I'm a conservative.
Right.
And when people stop and they step back, and this is what I keep on saying, if we were able to get our toehold into a lot of these backward churches that some of these ministers have complete control over, get our toe in there and say, hey, listen, you come here to church every day, you pray to God, you follow the Bible, you believe in this, you believe in that, you believe in hard work. So what makes you think that you're not a conservative?
Right.
Believe in taking care of your family first. And then once you take care of your family, then you worry about paying your taxes and everything else. But it's family first. You got to make sure that you got two parents raising that kid, because that kid's not going to grow up to be someone unless you have a good, strong parental guideline.
Right, right.
And that's unfortunately, that it forces a lot of kids now to be raised by grandparents who
right.
end up being conservative and giving those kids a good line, good guideline, because the parents have abrogated their responsibility.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, one of my I want to be real blunt, open about a goal that I'm going to set out to do when I start traveling around the country over this year. Because I don't know if I told you this, but I am going to be starting the Kansas, Missouri chapter of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, which Frederick Douglass Republican, but I am going to have a special part of what I do. And it's something that while we as black conservatives, conservatives who are looking for a different, you know, kind of that re-energizing at the base, they're looking to us. But one thing that we as black conservatives need to do, we need to empower the entire base of and when I say conservatives, I'm not talking fiscal social. I'm talking conservatives. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no such thing as a fiscal conservative and a social conservative, because you can't separate the one from the other. I'm talking the entire Christian, Judeo-Christian conservative who has pro-family, pro-God, pro-life values, and who cares about, you know, the true principles of conservatism. And what I want to do, wherever I'm invited, especially and if it's Tea Party groups where there's not a lot of black people there, one of the things that I'm going to do, I'm going to let the people know, you know what? You don't have to allow liberals to frame you as racist because you oppose Barack Obama. And you need to stand up. And you need to put your finger right back in their face and say, excuse me, you're not going to accuse me of something that I'm not. And I'm a equip them with the tools, the history, the statistical facts that shows the liberal racist history of the Democrats, so that when they're discussing these things, they can say, you know what? History backs me up. I'm not racist. You are. So if you don't want to go there, you need to chill, because it's time.
Exactly. Now, Iron Fist has a good thing, and it actually kicked a little something into the back of my mind. Maybe you can put this together, because she mentioned Frederick Douglass. And what a lot of people don't realize, the Frederick Douglass Foundation has a chapter in every state.
Well, not in Kansas and Missouri, though. I'm starting the chapters here.
It will. All right, I correct myself. It will have a chapter in every state soon. But a lot of young kids don't know about this, but they're starting to learn. And we've got to get the Frederick Douglass Foundation out there in the forefront more stridently than it is now.
Right, and that's what I want
to rewrite the Black history books.
Right.
We've got to rewrite them till it shows everything. You know,
exactly.
The good, the bad. We don't care if it's ugly or what. It's got to go in there. I mean, because there were bad things done on the Republican side as well as on the Democrat side.
Right.
You know, one was worse than the other, but they have to see both sides of it. And then at that point, let them choose. Instead, we're allowing our school system to choose for them. We've got to get rid of these teachers that turn around. If you don't answer the question the way I want you to answer it, instead of looking at both sides of the issues and challenging my perspective, then you're going to fail.
Right. And, you know, it's really interesting, though. You just hit the nail on the head because you said that there was good, there was the good and the bad on both sides. But let me let you in on a little something. Did you know that even back when the Republican Party was founded and they was working towards civil rights for Black and free slaves and stuff like that, even back then, you had Democrats who were pro-slavery switching to the Republican side to undermine what was being done even back then. That's another aspect of history that you won't hear about. But
you mean like they're doing today?
Exactly. So here's the thing, guys. What we really have to do, we have to start holding the establishment Republican leadership to the fire. I mean, really hold them there. Because the truth of the matter, their values is green. They no longer respect the voter bloc. They don't respect the base, and until they respect the base, they will not fear us. But if they fear us, and they fear losing their job, then they will fully understand that, wait, we have to take into consideration everything that they said. And I am excited about 2012 because I read something today, and I'm going to try to find the article on Facebook, but Annie, we as conservatives, we've been flipping out over a lot of the things that that Barack Obama was doing with his executive orders, but I read an article today. And let me find it on my Facebook page. But it's talking about there's some sources that are saying that Barack Obama, the Obama administration, is about to get a major smackdown because of the things that he's doing. And do you remember, I believe, was it 2010 when he made a disparaging comment about the United States Supreme Court, saying that they did something with the campaign finance law, and Justice Samuel Alito said under his breath, that's a lie. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, what they said, because of what he did, it upset the Supreme Court, and he's specifically has gone on record as calling Chief Justice John Roberts his number one enemy. And there's some people that are speculating that he's going to have a major problem. And also the swing boat guy, Anthony Kennedy, has been quoted as saying he's not retiring until Barack Obama is gone. I read that in this article today, and I'm going to find that because it blew me away, which says to me, because of what happened,
Yeah, as also you add in Ruth Bader Ginsburg last year said she's not ready to retire. She wants to see out Obama's term. And then she'd decide after he's out of office. Now, that's two of them. You got a swing vote and you got a liberal vote. But she has been voting on the conservative side in several issues. You never know which side she's going to come down on.
Really?
And I put back up and join us. I want to remind people tonight with the Iowa caucus, Tesla's going to have an excellent show on tonight. Socialism is not an option at 7 p.m. I think I said earlier 6. I apologize. It's the Iowa caucus all night. That will have U.S. Marine and Antikami and G.C. Rocks and Jermaine on it, and I'll be popping in and out. That will be followed later on by David and G.C. Rocks at 9 o'clock, and that will go further on to another 11 o'clock edition, and my screen is not scrolling down. And they're going to kind of continue. It's going to go from 7 all the way past 11 p.m. There's going to be three great shows up there. I put the links up in the chat room, and thanks courtesy of Tesla, they're up in there. Our call-in line is open. It's 917-889-3675. I welcome you to call in. I didn't intend to do this all about the school system. I wanted to talk about the Iowa caucus, but it is a really good, fascinating subject because these kids are our future. And Mayonnaise has written in there that we will never fix the school system. I'm a little more optimistic, and the reason why, and again I will state, it is our state superintendent of schools, Mike Zayas, who is really battling the federal government on it. He has refused to take federal money in several instances. As a matter of fact, he's got several people trying to go after him in court, mandating he does take this money or explain why he's not taking it. And he flat out said, he goes, there's too many strings attached. The amount of money we would be getting in and the requirements we would have to adhere to on the federal guidelines, it doesn't make it worth it. It'll cost us more in the end because once these provisions are put into our school systems, they're going to stay there. And then when the federal money pulls out, we have no way to pay for them. He's using common sense and logic, good conservative principles. He's now looking for exemptions. He's going individual schools. He's going to have something like 24 different town halls throughout the state. He's going to go county to county, sit down with the people in the county and says, listen, these are the options. We opt out of No Child Left Behind. You don't have to worry about becoming a failing school. We don't have to worry about this type of money being tied into all these other mandates inside the school system. We can do better with our kids without this over our head. And I'm telling you, when Bush put it in No Child Left Behind, I was screaming. Screaming, what the heck are you doing? You just ruined the schools across the nation. And I was right.
Right.
Schools that were producing good quality kids all of a sudden are failing. And yes, I think the school system can be fixed, and they're doing it here in South Carolina by first taking the step to slowly extricate the federal government from our school system. It's not something you can do overnight.
Right.
You can't do this overnight. They're too well entrenched. But every single little chip on that wall, sooner or later we're going to break through that wall and that whole building is going to come tumbling down and we go, say, hallelujah, we are free to teach our kids what we want, not what some person sitting in the throne in the White House wants us to teach the kids.
Right, exactly.
And it is a throne in the White House, isn't it? I never knew we erected a throne. I want to see where the coronation is. Guaranteed, if he does, God forbid, oh, please, Lord, I'm praying no, if he ever gets reelected. I want to see if he goes to the inauguration wearing a crown.
Oh, don't you, man. I can't even. Just the thought of that that turns my stomach. So that's, I'm sorry, but that's so wrong on all accounts. I mean,
All right. Now, we did get into talking about schools, and I did have an article. I'm just looking for it, and it was about school system in California that wants to mandatory teach the children about gay, lesbian, and disabled history, or whatever. I mean, some sort of new ethics course. I'm trying to see where the heck this is. This might have been in this thing. This is a new law. Here we go. No, that's Tennessee. Just bear with me while I'm looking for this. Where's California? California. No, that's not it. Well, they're trying to get. California will add gays and lesbian people with disabilities to a list of social and ethnic groups whose contributions must be taught in history lessons in public schools. The law also bans teaching materials that reflect poorly on gays in or particular religions. That's really nice. Opponents have filed five potential initiatives to repeal the requirement outright or to let parents remove the children while gays' contributions are being taught.
Well, are they parent, let me tell you something. Here's the thing. Parents don't need, they don't need the permission of the state to remove their children out of the school, contrary to what they may think. It is, if they're, see, here's the biggest thing. To public schools, that child is just a cash cow. They don't really give a darn about them learning.
Exactly.
So, therefore, parents need to start exercising their rights and moving their children. And if they have to sacrifice and start teaching them themselves, so be it. I think that their children's future would be worth more than them just being shipped off somewhere so they can be indoctrinated in such a way that they don't even recognize their own child.
Precisely. I talked to kids today, and half of them cannot even tell you who the vice president is. All they can say is Obama. And I asked one kid, he was about 14, 15, and I said, well, who's the vice president? He goes, Nancy Pelosi. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
No, I'm saying, hello. What do you say to a kid like that?
Oh.
And what are they teaching them in school? They're not teaching them the Constitution. They're not teaching them the proper structure of government. They're not teaching them good history. How many know American Revolutionary history? They don't. They're giving this pablum. Absolute pablum. So instead, as Manny's right, kids learn about homosexuality. Well, yeah, they're learning it from other kids, the television. That's the big problem. It's the culture war. Television and music. And once the liberals have gotten hold of the arts,
right.
It also does have a lot to do with the curriculum, because now the school is mandating, and California by law mandates they teach this. It is, yes, it is the curriculum.
Right.
And if you say the kids aren't penalized, remember to the story last year about this girl who her parents had allowed her to leave the classroom because they were teaching Mexican culture and having them do the Mexican Pledge of Allegiance in classroom, and their arms were held up in a Nazi salute. And the young girl got up and left because her parents said, if you're going to object to it, then we give you permission to leave. And the teacher failed her for doing that.
And you know what? If I was that family, I would cause, that's where I would raise so much uproar about it. I would meet with other parents, my friends who have kids in that school district, and I'd say, you know what, we really need to start our own association and then start, see this is what conservatives need to do. If they really are so concerned about what's going on in their schools, they need to do something. If the U.S. education system is bound to collapse, why don't we just help it? Remove our kids. If our kids say they really want to learn, remove them from that. Put them in an environment, whether it's homeschool or we have to sacrifice to put them in a better school, a private school or something like that. So be it. Who cares? If the United States Department of Education don't really care about the students? Why should we care about the education system of the United States when we can put the kids in a better educational
Take them out of the federal system, take them out of the federal system, and put them into a school that does not accept federal money. And Iron Fist turns around and said he thought that they should talk about that, meaning gay and lesbians in school. In one, I would agree with that on one thing. If they teach tolerance, but you don't need to separate them as a separate ethnic or a group. I mean, you've got people that are gay and lesbian in every spectrum, you know, black, white, oriental, purple, orange. You know, there's no boundary for a sexual preference. But if you want to teach tolerance, that if they find that there's another person in the school who happens to be gay or whatever, you know, teach tolerance, yes, but don't separate them into a separate, what they're doing is making them a separate ethnic group.
Right.
And when they separate us and they put us in these little groups and they say, all right, fine, you're black American, you're Italian American, you're gay, they're making us not the melting pot that the United States was meant to be. And by separating us, they can divide and conquer, which is what they're trying to do. The dividing and conquering. Instead of teaching tolerance and saying, right, fine, this person's different, but understand, look past those differences and look at what the person is.
Right.
And then, you know, become friends with that individual. They may not think the same way you do, but find a common ground in which you do agree on things. You know, I may not agree with a liberal because he believes in more government. I could still be a friend with them, but instead
right.
of saying, no, you've got to fight the person. You can't, you got to hate them. I don't hate them.
I
may disagree
either.
With them politically. I may not agree with someone, their sexual preference, but I can still have a normal conversation and be a neighbor, and that's what the melting pot is about. And they're
right.
taking that away. They're dividing and they're conquering. And that's
right.
what we've got to stop. This crap that they want to teach in California divides and conquers. And I
right.
don't blame the parents for wanting to opt out, because that's not the way to handle the situation.
Right. Exactly. I agree wholeheartedly, 1,223%.
No.
But I just, you know, I think Iron Fist just said, newsflash, lots of people who say they are conservatives want bigger government. So
not
then,
if they're true conservatives.
Not, yeah, exactly.
They're calling themselves, they truly are not. And there are a lot of people who hide behind that term. And if they're for big government, then they are not a conservative. And
exactly.
They may be a liberal Republican. And that's not even a Republican. That is a Democrat. Sorry.
Yeah.
And we have
yeah.
a lot of those here in South Carolina, unfortunately.
Right, exactly. And
now, and he also made another point. Who was it? Was it Iron Fist or was it Mayonnaise? Something
Mayonnaise.
About the person watching, letting the parents let him watch Lady Gaga. I'm going to tell you a true story. Just the other day, my husband and I were sitting talking with some friends, and we're talking about, you know, what the kids were getting for Christmas. And one woman turns around and she said her four-year-old son told her he wanted Santa to bring her a cell phone, an iPad, and a digital camera. And she's looking at him, you're 4 years old. You're not even in kindergarten yet. And you want a cell phone, an iPad, and a digital camera? Oh,
right.
No. So she outwitted the kid. She gets one of those little leapfrogs, and then she gets one of those little toy plastic cameras, you know, that they have for kids age appropriate, you know, for the age of 3 to 5. You know, so she got around that, and there was no cell phone. And he's opening up, and he goes, no cell phone? No. She goes, when you're 21, I'll give you a cell phone. And then her friend sitting next to her said, you know, she and her husband have a 14-year-old daughter. And the kid was asking for a cell phone, and they said, no. When you turn 18, we will get you a cell phone. And you think about this. Today's day and age, a 14-year-old not having a cell phone. Well, they finally relented because what was happening is when they went to go, kid was saying, all right, Mom, I'm done with soccer practice. Come pick me up. She had to borrow someone's cell phone. There's no pay phones around anymore.
Right.
You know, it used to be you can walk over to the pay phone or go to the school office and say, can you call my parents for me? Well, they don't let you do that anymore, and there's no pay phones. So, of course, she's borrowing all of her parents', you know, cell phones. Or if she'd catch a ride with someone else, she had no way to call her mom. Say, all right, Mom, you know, I'm catching a ride with so-and-so. I'll be home in 15 minutes. So the parent turned around. She was smart. She got one of these limited phones. You know, there's no text. All you can do is just call in and out and limited the minutes. Once you're done with that minute, that cell phone, you're back to borrowing the cell phones from your friends, and you're going to be embarrassed. So she did it the smart way. She really did do it a smart way. I mean, Manny says it was excuse for giving the kids phones, but if you think about it, if you have a kid out there now and you're trying to say, all right, fine, as soon as you're done with soccer practice, give me a call, I'll pick you up. But if there's no public phones, then how is the kid going to call? It's not like it was when I was growing up. You had a public phone almost on every single corner. Now you don't. Well, anyway, you're listening to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ann Ubellis, and I want to remind people to join Tesla tonight at 7 o'clock, and then at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, Jermaine and G-Ski and David Graham will also be hosting the Iowa caucuses. Just follow Tesla and me around, and you'll catch the other sites. They're up there in the chat room. And Invisible Conservative, you just put down red, white, blue news. What is that about?
That's the article. And it's the article from July. It's from 2010, but that's the article about the Supreme Court justice. And see, you didn't hear anything about this article in the mainstream media. But let me go back to it. And it's talking about Obama may be in deep trouble. Chief Justice Roberts with. You know, that's him being quoted. But see, here's the thing. In one of the comments section, they said, well, how come they haven't acted on any of the things if they were going to do it? And why was this back in 2010? Now, unlike the Obama administration, the U.S. Supreme Court, I believe, still believes in the system of checks and balances, because they just cannot rule a law unconstitutional unless that law is brought before them. That is the reason why the Obamacare lawsuit was fast-tracked by the United States Supreme Court. If you notice, they fast-tracked it when it still had about, I think, two or three more appeals processes to go through.
You bring up another point about members of the executive branch declaring things unconstitutional. We also have that right now, what we're going through with Eric Holder in South Carolina, with voter ID law, the immigration laws, and so on and so forth. He declared certain areas of the voter ID law unconstitutional before it even went before a court. So,
yeah, and they can't do that.
It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen come this November. And as it is now, you go into a voting polling place here in South Carolina, you are supposed to present your voter ID card and your government-issued ID, whether it's a driver's license, a residence identification, a military card, but you have to produce both. If not, they're going to give you an absentee ballot and tell you to sit down, fill it out, and once you're verified, then they will send it in, which is the way it should work. But Eric Holder is saying it's discriminatory. We're not denying anyone the right to vote, and the state is offering people that don't have ID free ID.
Yeah, and that's where – see, this is why I always say sometimes people who are up there in their ivory towers, they think they're so smart that the things they do are stupid. They have no basis in reality or logic. And what he doesn't realize, they thinking that because they have all those agencies in their hand that okay, we can rule this and this. But what people don't realize, the United States Supreme Court is the highest court in the land. If they rule something unconstitutional, but the executive branch goes against that, I don't know if you knew this, they do have the power to have people arrested. Did you know that?
Oh, don't even get me into this new Defense Act. Oh, man, don't
no,
even
no, 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 no. Not them. Not the new Defense Act. I'm talking about the United States Supreme Court. They have the power. See, a lot of people don't people don't know the full scope of what the U.S. Supreme Court has the right to do. And this administration is stepping over into that territory. I guarantee you, it's not if, but when that law is brought before the United States Supreme Court, and it will be, it's going to be ruled unconstitutional in a blink of an eye.
Well, I guarantee it. I hope so. I hope so. And we've got Perry Steele that joined the House today. And, he's got a show up also. So, Perry, put the link up because you're going to be covering the Iowa caucuses also. We're going to have a lot of fun bouncing all over the Internet. And Doc Jones, I'm sure he has a show up tonight. I think Doc Jones fell asleep. Our call-in line is open. It's 917-889-3675. And you're listening here to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is Thomas. He has The Invisible Conservative. And you did say you had a show on tonight, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing one. I'm not sure yet because I'm scheduling them spontaneous as I go. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do one with everybody else doing Iowa caucus shows and all that stuff. I'm just kind of chill.
Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds fun. Well, why don't you pop around the chat rooms with us tonight as we cover, well, like I said, I'm going to be up in Twitter as well.
Can I address something that Iron Fist said? He said that he has not, he doesn't believe that it will not be declared unconstitutional because it may have a retro effect on drug laws. Iron Fist, first of all, the Obamacare has nothing to do with drug laws. I mean, those are two. We're talking health care. We're not talking drugs. So I don't know where that is. And I understand the whole approach of, you know, there's a view that, you know, everything would be better if we just legalized drugs. One thing that I want to point out to everybody, which they never, when you hear this argument that if you legalize drugs, then it'll drive down the drug dealing and all this, that, and the other. But here's the one thing that people never take into consideration when they're arguing for those kind of things. What makes you think just because an addict now has access to drugs legally that they're going to stop robbing, stealing, and killing people to get their money? They're not. In fact, if anything, it's going to have the equal and opposite effect in that crime will go up because those people still aren't going to go out and get jobs so that they can support their own habits. That's something that we have to take into consideration because you can't have a society completely devoid of any kind of rules because you'll have chaos. It cannot exist.
All right, let me put this in another perspective then, because I know what you're trying to say, and I don't think he's understanding exactly. Iron Fist is not exactly understanding. One of the reasons why Obamacare is before the Supreme Court is the mandate to purchase. Now, government has no ability, there's nowhere in the Constitution that it states you must purchase something. As a matter of fact, Wyoming enacted a law just to mock Obamacare. And the law in Wyoming was, it was mandated that every individual over the age of 18 that is of sound mind was mandated to purchase a firearm. And now they challenged that one in court and said the state can't mandate you to purchase anything. Based upon that, they're using that argument as one of the arguments in Obamacare, saying that government cannot mandate you to purchase something. If they mandate you to purchase an item such as health care, then what will stop them from mandating, say, that every single person must purchase only green shoes, or every single person must purchase a Toyota hybrid? There, it's a slippery slope. Once they mandate you must purchase something, it's no longer voluntary how you spend your own money and what you spend it on. They take away your free will. That's one of the premises. The other one is the interstate commerce. They're saying because health care would be then sold nationwide, it falls underneath interstate commerce. But as it stands now, health insurance companies are not allowed to sell health care across state lines. So that also becomes negated. By legalizing drugs such as heroin, cocaine, you're only enabling people to then purchase the drug that they normally would not purchase. And by allowing it to be purchased legally, you can then create a whole new dependent class. Because now you have junkies who are already on the public dole, remaining on the dole, and then people who would normally never use this drug, but now it is legalized, becoming dependent, falling out of work, no longer being able to work, now have health care problems, and now they become dependent on public handout. So you create a whole new group of dependent class. And so that's why certain drugs need to be regulated. Certain drugs, when they are not purchased legally through a doctor that watches your care, then you're opening up a whole new can of worms. And ex-hyphenated American said every person must purchase the CFR bulbs, not incandescent. They're trying to overturn that. And, yes, here in South Carolina, we are going to use what we want because the state of South Carolina put down and said, no, you cannot do that to us. We're going to make our own incandescent bulbs within the state and sell them to state residents. So, yes, matter of fact, a plant is, I believe, has opened or is opening up here to manufacture the incandescent bulbs for citizens of South Carolina. So if you all want to buy the old type of Edison bulbs, you're going to have to take a ride over here, stop at the Squat and Gobble, pick up some light bulbs at the local Lowe's or Home Depot or drugstore, and then go back home. Okay, you're listening here to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to take a little bit of a break and play some of my PSAs, and let's see if we can wake up Doc Jones. Okay, that was for Dr. Jones. And we got another caller coming in here from South Carolina. Good afternoon. This is your host, Ann. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Ann. This is X-Hyphenated.
Hi, X. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. For those that don't know me, I call myself X-Hyphenated American because I do not wear a hyphen. I don't care. I'm an American, period. That's it. That's all that matters.
Amen.
I agree.
Matter of fact, Thomas,
Thomas
said something on his show a couple weeks back, and he said, I'm a black conservative. I says, no, you're a conservative who happens to be black.
Yeah.
I would say I'm an American first, I'm a conservative, and I'm a female.
I'm a CCAB. You know what a CCAB is?
A cab?
It's a Christian conservative American black person. Nah.
Listen, I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps and probably would have made a career out of if I hadn't gotten hurt. The only thing that mattered to me, it wasn't even an issue, but the only thing I cared about was if the guy next to me in the foxhole could shoot as good or better than I could.
Right.
And that's the only thing that mattered. If he can hit the bullseye on that target, that's fine. If he couldn't, I would show him how to. But the things that's happening now. Listen, I'm going to speak on that drug issue, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Only a fool would say that it's okay to legalize drugs. If anyone has ever had any problem with drugs, or had any problem with addiction, or anyone in their family that's had a problem with addiction, the last thing they need to do is legalize drugs in America. People say, well, because of taxes. Well, let me tell you this. To legalize drugs, one of the things that drugs will do to you is cloud your judgment.
That's right.
It clouds your judgment. You lose all your spatial awareness about you. That's why you're getting pulled over for DUI because you have no idea of what you're doing. You lose all track of time, and you're living just to get the drug. Now, if you make it legal, where are these people going to get the money from? Are they going to work? No, they're not going to work. Are they going to steal? Yeah, they're going to steal, because they're going to steal and not hide. They're going to go to jail for the theft, but not the possession of the drugs.
Exactly.
So that's the thing about it. You will see the addiction rate go up. It will skyrocket.
Which is my point that we've increased then the cost of medical care, because now you have to take care of these fools. Plus, you increase the number of people that are on government dependence.
Well, and some idiots would say, well, you can control how much they get every day, so therefore you can control the drug. You can control the use. You must be out of your mind. You're going to tell us the nature of an opiate is over time it dulls your brain, so you need more and more and more of it to achieve that high. And if you don't have it, they call it Jonesing. If you don't have it, you will go into a pen. It's not pretty. So to legalize it is stupidity. It's absolutely stupidity. And only a person that has an elitist attitude thinks that they can control their addiction. It's
right.
Stupid.
No,
right.
I'm going to talk from a law enforcement point of view, and I can tell you, the New York City Police Academy was right outside a methadone clinic, or actually the methadone clinic was outside near the police academy. And at lunchtime, I mean, these are people that are being given drugs distributed legally through the city of New York.
Right.
And if anyone has seen anyone on methadone or Thorazine, you'd be sitting there, and they would do – anyone see the movie Weekend at Bernie's when he's leaning all the way back as he's walking and he's falling almost into the sand? That is a junkie on methadone. And if he decides not to take his methadone that day – he does what we call Jones out, and he's going to be on that street corner pulling some little old lady's purse off her arm and going and finding the next place to purchase another shot. And if you make things legal, he's still going to be pulling that little old lady's purse off the arm, and he's going to be going to the next drugstore to buy his crap. Yeah,
exactly.
All you do is make more dependent junkies.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've had it in my own family. And a matter of fact, I have one member of my family I have not spoken to in, I would say, 13 years, because this person was that bad, and I'm not going to.
Hey, Annie, let me ask ex-hyphenated American a question real quick, and it's a whole nother subject, but it just it pisses me off. I'm sitting here reading this article, and I'm going to post it in the chat room. It says, Iranian commander, U.S. aircraft carrier better not return to the Persian Gulf. And then it goes on to say, the commander of Iran's armed forces has advised a U.S. aircraft carrier which left the Persian Gulf of they think we left because of Iran's naval war games. Now, here's my question to you. Do they not realize that we have stealth bombers that will fly from here in Knob Knobster, Missouri, where I'm at, that will go over there, will bomb that country back into oblivion from 60,000 feet, will fly back over here, and they wouldn't even know what happened? Why? Please tell me. Please tell me. Why do people continue to underestimate our American military? It's angering me. I know that they're. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They do not underestimate the American military. Trust me. The deadliest thing to an Iranian bent on doing harm to the United States is a Marine and his rifle. They are not trying to test the U.S. military. What they're doing is they're checking the cojones of the commander-in-chief.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You see?
Yeah, and he doesn't have solid breasts. They're made of cotton.
Yes, that's it.
I'm
like
sorry,
little like lint on that farmer's commercial, and the guy with the flamethrower burst in the flame.
Now, where in South Carolina? Are you in the Low Country?
No, actually, I'm in Darlington, South Carolina.
Oh, all right. Been at that track quite a few times. I was just wondering if you heard about the squat and gobble down here in Bluffton.
Yeah.
All right, because Doc Jones was asking about it and so forth, and Tesla, because I
squat and gobble.
I mentioned it. I had mentioned it in here. Oh, geez. And you've, of course, been here to the Low Country. You've been, what, at Parris Island?
I was at Parris Island, and I stayed down in Beaufort. Marine Corps is down there for a little while.
I'm halfway in between. Well, actually, I'm closer to the air station. Matter of fact, I can stand in my front yard and hear them do the target practice. I can hear them take off. And, oh, God, the sound of thunder comes over my house all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the sound of freedom.
Actually, I should call it the sound of freedom, right. The sound of freedom.
The sound of freedom. That's right.
Yeah, matter of fact, the last time I broadcast, I had to mute my mic a few times while I let the jets go over.
Oh, wow.
What gets me, though, is I kind of caught a glimpse of the Occupy folks yesterday.
Uh-oh.
At the Rose Bowl parade. And it amazes how much these folks just have such a disdain for the military. But if it came down to it, they would be the ones running in the other directions while we're running to the fight. And that to me says a whole lot about it. They want complete anarchy, but they want complete freedom. And if they don't realize that anarchy in an anarchist society, there is no freedom. Because you're at the mercy of whoever is the strongest.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was one of the things I always found amazing when you're there as a police officer on the corner, you're trying to maintain law and order, and you see someone do something stupid in front of you. And in our case, New York City, an open container on the sidewalk is illegal. You know, if you're standing there on the corner taking a brew, you know, you got to get yourself inside and drink that thing. And I hadn't been on a foot post, and there was a couple of people I knew that were known dealers. And they were scoping out the air to see whether or not I was going to do my job, whether or not they should move on to another corner. And here comes, they send this kid out with the beer. You know, he was of age to drink it, but he decided to challenge me. And he takes the beer and right smack in front of my face decides to take a swig. So I'm like, all right, fine, I know what you're doing. I know your buddy sent you out here to see whether or not I'm going to do something. I'm going to give you one chance to simply go inside and finish your beer. And when you're done, you can come back out on the corner. Well, he turns around and starts giving me some lip, and after a little bit, we go into a little bit of a tussle, and I end up having to arrest him. And it was simply because the dealers wanted to see what my reaction was. Now, if I turned around, turned my back and said, all right, fine, you know, it's only a beer. It's no big deal. That would be anarchy. And then the dealers would have had the corner. And with the dealers would come the hookers, and with the hookers you got the muggers and everything else. And we got another caller coming in. Let me bring this person in online. Area code 901. We got down to our last 6 minutes. Who am I speaking to?
It's Perry. How you doing, Annie?
Hi, Perry. How are you doing?
Hey, Perry. I love that guy. His show is cool. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just want to call in and agree with most of what y'all were saying, especially about the drugs. I think that's the worst thing we could do in America. I mean, we already got a bad education system. You know, we got people with mental problems who are undiagnosed, but yet and still they want to legalize drugs. Now, a lot of things, your other callers made some good points, but a lot of things people don't understand. If you legalize drugs, that means you got to go get a license if you want to sell them. And you still got to pay taxes just like if you sell beer. Or what?
You got to pay tax. You think those Chinese don't pay their tax?
Do you realize what the tax rate would be on that, man?
Yeah,
I didn't think about it that way, Perry, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Anybody know anything about marijuana? This is all you got to do. You get you a sack of good stuff, keep the seeds, grow your own. What is that? That's illegal because you're growing your own.
Right.
You know, that's just like running a whiskey still. You know, you're going to make your own whiskey or make your own beer and try to sell it. That's a bad idea, man. I wish there was some way where we could just stop that. Because we don't need to legalize. Now, if you want to just go let these folks smoke their lights out, what you call deregulated then. Just, you know, decriminalize it where the government can't get in. Because once the government put their hands on it, it's going to be screwed up. Corporations going to be putting additives in it. And before you know, we're going to have junkies everywhere.
Right.
They're like they do cigarettes.
All right, guys. Listen,
you guys have a good point.
I'm down to my last 4.5 minutes here. Just so that we can close this up real fast so I can close the show up. Thomas, give me a 2-second statement, and we'll close it out here.
Great show. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Wonderful. 2012 is ours.
Okay, great. X hyphen.
Just we are not dead. We're just in hibernation right now, and as soon as the sun comes up and hits our back bottoms, we're going to be up and running around again.
Oh, fantastic. And thank you for the call, and please do come back again. I always want to hear from another South Carolinian here.
Yeah.
All right, Perry?
I just want to say Happy New Year to you, Annie.
Oh, Happy New Year. And your show, you put the link up in the chat room, right?
Yeah, we're going to cover the caucus because I think they'll be over with the caucus by the time I come on.
What time are you going
to get the results.
What time are you coming on?
9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
9 p.m. Central Standard Time, because I think they should be over 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be on 3 hours, so I'll be able to catch them anywhere to go.
Okay.
Like I said, I kind of like Ron Paul, but Ron Paul got some radical views that I don't think a president could do, especially the Republicans hate him and the Democrats hate him, too. I don't know about Ron Paul.
Well, wait until they come out and they start pushing all those newsletters of his that they had the racist statements on it.
Yeah.
I have a couple of copies on my file here, and
I'm
not getting into it just yet. I'm going to hold that off for another show. I want to thank everyone that is in the chat room that has called in also. Y'all have been absolutely awesome, fantastic. You know, Iron Fist has been typing away. His hands has got to be melting at this point. We've had Doc Jones, our ex-hyphenated. We've got several guests. We got Mary. Tesler has been in here, and I want to thank Thomas and Perry and ex-hyphenated for calling in. This has been an absolute blast. I will be back again on Friday because I have a lot of stuff I haven't got into. And one of the things we really do have to talk about and see if we can get this repealed is the Defense Authorization Act. There are sections in it that are make you absolutely hit the ceiling. I've got a bunch of other stuff going on, too, here. I unfortunately did not get to this one. This is, again, California. The adult film condom proposal qualifies for a June ballot. I'm just going to let you think about that for the week, and we'll just pick this up here on Friday. I want to thank everyone for listening in. Please join Tesler, Jermaine, G-Ski, David, and all of us later on tonight. The links are, again, up in the chat room for Tesler's show at 7 o'clock. And then it's going to be followed by 9 and 11 o'clock, two more additional shows after that. Perry will be on tonight at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And until Friday, I want to say thank you, God bless, and all have a healthy and happy New Year. Good night.
All right.
Good night.
I'll get back with you.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
American.